Hello, this is Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, October 16th, 2025. Beginning at the top of the page, Iroquois County Board OKs fiscal year 2026 budget to be filed for public inspection by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. The Iroquois County Board approved placing the FY 2026 proposed budget on filed for public inspection. The measure was approved with member John Grant was absent and member Donna Crow voting no. Board members did agree that there are questions about certain items and more discussion needs to be had. Finance Director Jill Johnson said, "There were changes from the finance meeting until the copy you have in front of you. The one change is for co-op extension." Johnson said after clarifying with extension representatives that that item was increased by $1,000. The other change was a grant that information was received. We put in these numbers and in Fund 385, so instead of saying zero, they now have numbers in there. This is the election grant fund, so it doesn't affect the general fund. They get the money from the grant, and then they will spend it through elections. During committee reports, board member Lyle Behrens asked about raises being given to employees. He said the raises seem to be up, down, all around instead of a flat rate given. Board member Scott Watts agreed, saying that there is consensus among board members going forward that a scale needs to be approved. "In the past, this was your rate," Behrens said. "There may have been a few examples of where it was a little different." Watts said, "And people have certain requests, like for chief deputies, or they want to recognize a certain employee. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing every time. I agree there should be some kind of a schedule, and then we don't have to go through this every year. We don't see them in their offices every day. I agree with you, Lyle, but right now this is what we have." The budget has to be posted for 15 days prior to final approval by the board in November. When asked about approving a negative budget, Johnson said, "We are not approving a negative budget. The general fund budget has a balance of $1,481.39. Board Chairman Paul Ducat said that board members can look at the budget and bring suggestions back. Watts said, "We have looked hard at this budget. It's not been taken lightly. We've looked at it hard." Watts also said he would like to make sure the budget is put on public display to keep the process moving forward. It was noted that the public inspection can be done and changes can be made before the final approval is made in November. Board member Kathleen Perkinson said the first part of the report could be confusing for the public. On the first two pages are the summary, the budgeted fund balance. In the last several columns, it has our 2026 net activity and then our estimated ending balances. So if I'm the public, I'm looking at that net activity 26. Is that really our budget? And if so, it's a negative number. How do we reconcile that number to the fact that we're saying our budget is balanced? Johnson said, "A lot of these funds, we're looking specifically at the general fund, and then we pay attention to the county funds. Some of these funds that are special funds, such as the automation fund, and for instance, IMRF, is a negative. The reason for that, and we've said this several times throughout the process, is our IMRF is fully funded and has approximately, and I say approximately because I haven't seen a final balance sheet from the treasurer's office yet, I think the last one I got was from June. So $3.2 million is where we're at sitting in that fund. That's a levy fund, and we are not going to levy for more than what we need. We haven't levied in that fund for a couple of years now because it has maintained that $3.2 to $3.5 million that we need to fully fund it. When you look at that overall negative number, specifically talking about IMRF because it is showing a negative, we are just using some of the funds we already have instead of levying for something we really don't need at this time. Perkinson asked if there is a way to present it so it has the general fund separated with a subtotal. Johnson said it is presented that way, noting that there are a couple of pages in the report that have that presentation. I understand. I think it could help the presentation maybe if we could have just one more page, maybe. That has general fund and the line items and then the subtotal of all other funds, Perkinson said. Just one page that shows front and center that the general fund is positive. Johnson agreed. Board member Donna Crow asked about the negative in the public safety tax fund. Johnson said, I can tell you the reason for that is the joint dispatch salaries and the amount of money that is getting transferred over from the city of Watseka. The general fund and fire and police and ambulance and all those different transfers you'll see in that fund. We needed to fund those, and the finance committee chose to take that additional $6,000 out of public safety. That current balance sitting in public safety, and you'll see. And you'll have to forgive me, the last balance sheet I have is from June, is reading that there is $714,291 in that fund. I'm just reiterating what the finance committee already went over. Behrens said this is the second year that the county has posted negative to that account. We're going in the wrong direction here, Crow said. The board agreed to get the budget posted for the public and continue to work on some of the questions. Johnson said when she contacted the city of Watseka, they had not heard of the $222,000 and some change number that was put in the budget. They were still set at the, I believe, it's the $162,500 that's in there now. She said she put that number in the budget because she had not heard anything different. So then that created the downfall. So between the general fund transfer and what was decided was the public safety transfer that covered the expected salaries for the joint dispatch fund for fiscal year 2026. Johnson said she has said before that these discussions have to happen in committees. Watts said, we have. It's happened, and it's happened early. Why we're still in the place we are now, I'm not quite sure. I know you want to have money in the general fund to have a year of working money for the county, but there's money there. Johnson explained, there is a $76,890 negativity for all the funds, including the general fund. She said there are some funds, like IMRF, are negative because the county chose not to levy anything in that fund because it is fully funded. Hopefully, having a little tax relief on constituents, she said, that has a lot to do with your overall, with all of the funds together, the $76,890. If you look at public safety tax fund, it is budgeted for a negative, but it is a negative $14,000. Crow said she sees it, but that doesn't make me feel one bit better. Johnson said she has several emails that have been provided to the board with updated changes and the updated number for the general fund balance. Ribbon cutting event officially opens Martin Avenue in Watsika by Carla Waters, managing editor. The City of Watsika officially opened Martin Avenue in Watsika with a ribbon cutting event October 9th. The event was conducted by the Watsika Area Chamber of Commerce. Several members of the City Council were on hand, including Mayor Benny Marcier, Alderman Don Miller, Jeff Peterson, Terry Pence, Public Works Director Lauren Grosvenor, members of the Chamber, members of the Iroquois Economic Development Association, and Iroquois County Board Chairman Paul Ducat. Marcier welcomed everyone and talked about the benefits of the new street extension. The road extends Martin Avenue from Heritage Woods to South 10th Street near the Iroquois County Courthouse. "It's been a long time coming," he said. "Watsika is really going to benefit from this grant that we received." He said former Mayor John Allhands applied and received the $2.35 million grant for the project. "We also added our TIF 3 and 4 for the water main extension increase in front of the high school." He said Iroquois Paving worked on the project and worked to get everything completed before the first school day, which he said they did. Marcier said John Martin, Kay O'Brien Martin, and the entire Martin family are also appreciated for their cooperation and their vision to help Watsika get this extension done and to make this even possible. Without their family, this wouldn't have even happened. Keith Mulholland of Robinson Engineering said, "This has been in the works for several years. Going back to the previous administration, even. A lot of people were involved in the design. Again, thanks to the Martin family for the vision, the property, to extend this. This provides a very important access to both the school and Heritage Woods. We were able to loop a water main, which provides better water for residents in this area of town. This is a very much needed improvement for this area of town." Grosvenor said, "This is a huge improvement, one of many that the City of Watsika has conducted in the last handful of years. This provides an additional ingress, egress for the school, nursing home, the hospital, water improvement, and with an additional loop. The city has been really fortunate with some grants, whether it's EPA, this grant, the OSLAD grant. We've been very fortunate, and the city has been very positive in making improvements for all our residents here in town. I hope everybody enjoys the new extension here. It's been needed for many years." Allhands was not in attendance, but provided some background on the project via phone. "While I was mayor, I had always heard from residents there that a second egress, ingress out of the subdivision would be very helpful. Also, after attending Warrior football and basketball games, graduations, and concerts, the council noticed that there might be some difficulties with getting EMS vehicles through all the parking needed to accommodate these events at the school. In addition, with the possible new building the school district is working on, that this could help with student drop-off and dismissal. Plus, there are 10-plus sites for future home construction. So this road extension is a multifaceted solution to many city needs." So the extension came about when former U.S. Representative Adam Kinzinger called me at home one night and asked if we could get him a project for the first omnibus bill under the last administration. He figured he would have at least a minimum of 30 requests from communities in Adams District at the time. He said he could take 3 to the subcommittee for review. Being told that, we got to work. The representative said it needed to be a $1 million project to be considered. I remembered that the developer had requested a $1 million road 2 or 3 years prior, and that we still had some engineering left from the previous request. We dug those out and enhanced them with all the underground infrastructure, storm and sanitary sewers, plus a large water main loop that will allow repairs to be isolated to smaller areas having to be interrupted for repair work. In about 5 days' time, we had the application completed and new engineering, along with completed letters of support done and ready to be submitted. This $2.35 million grant came about with help from former State Senator Jason Berrickman, former State Representative Tom Bennett, former Police Chief Jeremy Douglas, and Fire Chief Ken Bayer. Robinson engineer Van Caliberas also did some quick work on this for the city's use. So for the evolution of the grant, Adam called me at home again and told me that he was choosing ours as one of his three to submit. About 4 to 6 months later, Kinzinger called me one night and said our project passed committee and was going to the House floor. He called again and said it passed the House and was on the president's for him to sign a few weeks later. We received out contingent congratulatory letter saying we got the $2.35 million for the project. I figured Watseka was a long shot, since Iroquois County is a Republican county in a Democratic state. I guess this shows that some differences can be overlooked. This road is a very valuable asset for the city. Citizens need to realize that the current mayor and city council work hard on grants all the time, but receiving them comes through their efforts while in a lot of cases working at their regular jobs. Try, and try again is what it takes when it comes to being awarded grants. City councils work hard at marketing their cities, so it's going to take everybody in the city to help it grow, not just the 9 individuals that were elected. So, with this in mind, some of the suggestions being made or posted is as good as some are. Think about starting a grassroots approach and present your applications to the council. These elected officials have their own careers and households to support while working as part-time city leaders. Best of wishes to the current administration and council, and I look forward to hearing seems to be a small problem with the editing there. It's sort of cut off at the end. There is one obituary. Blanche C. Vasquez, 69, of Bethany, formerly of Rantoul, died at 12:54 a.m. Sunday, October 12, 2025, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A mass of Christian burial will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, October 18, 2025, at St. Mary Catholic Church, 407 West Pells Street, Paxton, with Father Nestor Sanchez officiating. Private burial will be held at Holy Sepulchre Cemetery, Rantoul. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, October 17th at Bear Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pells Street, Paxton, with rosary beginning at 4:30 p.m. Blanche was born January 12, 1956, in San Antonio, Texas, the daughter of Roger and Corina Ibanez Cavazos. She married Victor Vasquez May 1, 1976, in San Antonio, Texas. He preceded her in death December 19, 2013. She is survived by a son, Victor Crystal Vasquez, Jr., of Buckley, a daughter, Melissa Robb Purcell of Bethany, stepson, Marvin Nicole Robinson of Century, West Virginia, four grandchildren, Olivia King, Skylar, Lily Evangelista, Mateo Vasquez, Alexis Robinson, two sisters, Belinda Roger Garza of San Antonio, Texas, and Barbara Keith Lynch of Watsika. She was preceded in death by her parents, husband, daughters, Stephanie Marie Vasquez and Joanne Herrera, son Pablo Herrera III, and sister Bernadette Hemp. Blanche was a homemaker and foster mom. She was also a teacher's aide in the Gilman School District. She enjoyed crocheting and puzzle books. She loved spending time with her family and friends. Memorials may be made to the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation. Condolences and memories can be shared with the family at www.bearfuneralservices.com. Fundraising underway for Phase 2 of Watsika Park District Building Program from staff reporters. The Watsika Park District has started fundraising for Phase 2 of its building program. The next phase will see a renovation of the back portion of its Second Street location and an expansion of athletic programming. In a recent news release, Executive Director Sherry Johnson said, "The Watsika Park District was originally conceived by the collective spirit and generosity of the people of Watsika. For decades, the Watsika Park District has been a cornerstone of recreational programs and community engagement. The programs have offered generations of families a place to play, learn, and grow together. Today, we are at a critical juncture where your support can make a difference. Phase 2 of our building program is underway, but we cannot cross the finish line without our community's help. Our ambitious project is more than just infrastructure. It is an investment in our future, a promise to every resident, young and old, that the Watsika Park District will continue to be a vibrant, welcoming place to live, work, and play," she said. Phase 2 continues the build on the remarkable success of our initial efforts to upgrade and expand. Phase 1 saw the revitalization of the 3rd Street location with the addition of the Learning Tree Daycare. The 2nd Street location brought new life and new meaning to an empty building, adding recreational spaces, technology, offices, and more. The results have been amazing. We have provided safer areas to explore, upgraded amenities, and the potential is limitless. Our next step now is to renovate the back portion of the building, expand athletic opportunities to accommodate more youth and adult leagues, fostering sportsmanship and healthy living, with picketball courts, 3-3 basketball, 4-square, archery, and more. Modernization of technology will also let us include high-fidelity audio and advanced display technology, making Watsika even more accessible for family entertainment and trainings. We are asking for your help through donations. Your donation matters, and the benefits will ripple outward, touching every family, child, and visitor within Watsika and Iroquois County. Every dollar donated is a direct investment in our shared future. Whatever you contribute will leave a lasting legacy. We are committed to honest stewardship of your donations, and progress reports will be posted regularly. Your donation will be used efficiently and effectively, with a focus on the greatest need and highest impact, she said. Donations can be made to the Phase 2 project by clicking the Donate button on the district's website, www.watsikapark.org. Donations can also be made in person at the office, 110 South 2nd Street, Watsika. We invite you to stand and dream with us. Donate today. Change tomorrow, she said. For more information about the Watsika Park District, visit the website, Facebook, or call 815-384-1639. Iroquois County Cantata to celebrate 50th event this year. By Kim Raby for the Times Republic. The Iroquois County Cantata will celebrate its 50th anniversary this December when presentations are made on December 19th and December 21st. But before we jump too far ahead, the group needs to build itself first. This year's presentation, Light of the Stable, will be different from previous presentations. All singers who are interested in taking part in this amazing Christmas program are invited to join. Any level of experience is welcome, with rehearsals starting Sunday, October 19th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Rehearsals and presentations take place at Living Hope Church and First Christian Church, 546 North 6th, Watsika. The adult choir is open to anyone 13 years of age and older. In order to make sure enough books are available, those interested in singing with the group should contact one of the co-directors, Jessica Phaland or Eric Parmenter. It is hoped to have at least 40 adult singers. Volunteers may be needed to reach out to area businesses for donations to help offset the cost of the presentations. During November, all practices will take place at the church on Tuesdays from 6:30 to 8 p.m. No one is expected to make all the practices, but they are asked to come to as many as possible. Two or three rehearsals will also be set for December, and those are vital for participants to attend. The December presentations are at 6 and 8 p.m. Friday, December 19th, and 2 and 4 p.m. Sunday, December 21st. For more information, contact the above-named co-directors or send an email to iroquoischristmascantata@gmail.com or visit the Facebook page of Iroquois County Christmas Cantata. Civil War program to focus on Iroquois County soldiers. Zach Nunnemaker will present a program on the two largest Civil War regiments, which included soldiers from Iroquois County. His program will be at 1:30 p.m. Sunday, November 2nd, in the courtroom of the Old Courthouse Museum, 103 West Cherry, Watsika. The regiments he will focus on are the 76th Illinois Infantry and the 113th Illinois Infantry. Other regiments, which included county soldiers, will be honorably mentioned as well. The program is sponsored by Iroquois County Historical Society, a nonprofit group which maintains the museum. This is a free program, but donations will be accepted. If you're a Civil War buff with a high interest of Iroquois County's part in the Civil War, this program will be of interest to you. Nunnemaker will include a slideshow with his presentation. As this is the first Sunday of the month, the museum will be open from 1 to 4 p.m. for those who wish to tour the museum. Lots of improvements and new displays have been set up this past year, so there really is something of interest for almost everyone. This has been Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times Republic for Thursday, October 16th, 2025. Have a fabulous day.